Well, Mr. and Mrs. Norris, Jr., it's my privilege to be the first one really to address you as a couple in the presence of your friends. But I feel that there's been a tremendous amount of content and teaching in what has already been said in this service and in the prayers and in the songs that we have sung together. But I want to bring you today some words from Peter, the fisherman disciple of Jesus. You have them in your service sheet, words from a letter of his in the New Testament. And I want to focus especially on that kind of middle paragraph, which is separated from the others, where Peter says that a Christian husband and wife are heirs together or equal partners in the gracious gift of life. Peter is actually writing this letter to people he calls strangers or aliens. He doesn't mean they're from another planet, but as believers in Jesus, they have radical values. They live a countercultural life. I wonder how many of us are happy to live outside the box in terms of today's culture. So Peter writes about marriage. And in Christian marriage, a husband and wife have different but complementary roles. He's a servant leader. She's a nurturer supporter. And these days, that's quite radical in itself, isn't it? In the New Testament, did you know that submission is a buzzword? Christians submit to God. We submit to Christ. We submit to the Bible. And yes, we submit to each other. Submission is actually powerful. Its unique demonstration is Jesus on the cross. So Peter says to Christian wives, don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. Clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious to God. Now, Jenny, you look absolutely stunning today, and it's quite right you should. But did you know that your gentle and quiet spirit in your marriage is going to look even more stunning? Peter says it's precious to God. And then he turns to husbands. You husbands, he says, you must have respect for your wives. But the word he uses is actually much stronger than respect. It translates better, really, as honor. It's almost a worship word that you should honor your wife. It's sometimes said of a devoted husband that he worships the ground she stands on. Well, Peter's almost there in what he's saying. But he's also practical. Treat your wife, he says, with understanding as you live together. She's weaker than you are, he says. He doesn't mean intellectually weaker. He doesn't mean spiritually weaker. He doesn't mean that the wife's not equal with the husband. In fact, he goes on to say that she is. He might simply mean that she can't carry as many bricks up a ladder as he can. But I think he's more likely to mean that if she's going to really live out the Christian faith as a Christian wife, she's going to need his protection. She's going to need his support. In many ways, he's going to need hers as well. Perhaps the most important two letters in the statement that she's weaker than you are the letters E-R. Weaker. We're all weak. We all need to get our strength from God himself. And now Peter goes on to say something wonderful. He's still speaking to the husband about the wife. She's your equal partner in God's gift of new life. She's precious to you, Peter says, and she's precious to God. She inherits with you the blessing of salvation. You are heirs together of this wonderful grace. And that's how, Andy and Jenny, you're to enjoy and live out your married life as equal partners in God's gracious gift of life. So I want to say just two things know every day how blessed you are, and show every day how blessed you are. It was rather sweet just now when you said to each other, all that I am I give to you, and all that I have I share with you. How much have you actually got? A few pounds in the bank, a few wedding presents, a house almost. It's enough, but it's not a lot, is it? Now change the speaker. Instead of you saying that to each other, it's Jesus Christ saying it to you. All that I am, I share with you. All that I have, I give to you. Remember who Jesus is? He's the eternal Son of God. What has he got to give? What has he got to share? He infinite resources. He's the one by whom the world was made. How great is he? How great are the resources that he has? He is the very source of life. He has life in himself, and he has life to give, eternal life. And he gives salvation as a free gift. You both know that. You've both received it gladly and gratefully. There are some strange stories out there about inheritances. There was a Portuguese aristocrat who left a vast fortune to 70 total strangers chosen randomly from a phone directory. Now, those 70 people were heirs together, equal partners in a legacy they had no natural claim to. They'd done nothing to deserve it, nothing to earn it. It was a lottery. But this isn't a lottery. This isn't random. This is something that comes to us by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not be spiritually lost, but have everlasting life. We don't earn our salvation. It doesn't come from good works that come from good people. No, it comes by faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior. It comes from the heart of God, his gracious heart. And it comes to people who've utterly failed to live up to God's holy standards. And Andy and Jenny have specifically asked me to share this good news today, that Jesus, who lived a perfectly righteous life, who died on the cross as the one sufficient sacrifice for our sins, who rose again and has conquered the power of death itself, as you put your trust in him, repenting of your sins, you will receive this rich inheritance, this priceless blessing of eternal life, life in God, life with God. It's a free gift. It's a life which begins now, deep within you, and it goes on forever. And if any of you who do not know Christ in this way were today to respond to this message and to this wedding, and to receive eternal life, well, I know Andy and Jenny well enough to know that it would be more to them than the icing on the cake. It would be a tremendous joy to them if that was to take place, because you would be sharing with them in their inheritance, in this wonderful, priceless blessing. And you would really be able to sing what we've just been singing together, all I have is Christ. In other words, Christ is everything to me. And I hope you can tell, I'm sure you can, from this service, that Christ is everything for Andy and Jenny. There's nothing to stop you taking Jesus as your Savior and as the Lord of your life. He came into this world as a friend of sinners to bring us into this priceless inheritance, to save completely, once and forever, those who come to God by him. So, and in Jenny, it's this inheritance that undergirds and enhances your marriage today and every day. Every day you need to remember just how blessed you are, how spiritually rich you are. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you are heirs of God. You're joint heirs with Jesus of all the spiritual resources that are stored up in him. And that is how you are to work things out in your marriage on the ground. A Christian marriage, as we've heard, is a reflection of the love that Jesus has for his bride, his church, people, not a building, not an institution. And that love is safe love. It's unbreakable love. It's ultimate secret isn't romance, it isn't sex, it isn't even companionship. Those are all very important things in marriage. But its secret, as we've been told, is covenant. That's the secret of the love of God, covenant love. And you've just now made a covenant with each other. You vowed before God and before us to go on loving each other, haven't you? And the way to keep those promises is each day to remember the covenant love of God, that you are heirs together of the grace of life. And you are secure in that love, absolutely safe. It's great in this world, isn't it, to have safety? You're absolutely safe in the love of God. It's a theme of the reading you actually chose, isn't it? That there is nothing in the whole universe that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. And it's because of that that your marriage can be wonderfully happy and utterly secure in the covenant you have now made to each other as you are heirs together of the grace gift of life, as your equal partners in that. So know every day how blessed you are. And then more briefly, show every day how blessed you are. Imagine you get a letter from the solicitors to tell you that someone has left you some money, but for some reason you assume it's a very modest amount and you get busy and you don't get round to checking it out, but finally you do and you're thunderstruck to find it's a fortune and you hadn't been doing anything with it. You were actually rich, but you were living poor. Now, Christians can be like that. Actually rich, but living poor. And Peter does not want that to be the model for Christian marriage. He wants you to show every day how rich you are, spiritually rich, how blessed you are. A Christian wife is not rich because she dresses up in all her finery. She's living rich when she shows each day the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. A Christian husband is living rich not when he gets a promotion at work or buys a new house or car, but when he honors his wife and treats her with consideration and respect, when he loves her and sacrifices for her as Jesus did. We're living rich when we live as Christians. And to do it, we need to step away from selfishness. And marriage is a call to do that, to step away from selfishness, to give yourselves to each other. And from that base, you will be able to reach out with the love of Christ, not to turn in on yourselves. That can be a mistake, especially perhaps at the beginning of a marriage. I'm sure you won't do that. But to share your home, your time, your gifts, the gospel. It's worth sharing, isn't it? And to demonstrate the love of Jesus. Now, it's interesting how Peter ends this little passage. Speaking to the husband, he says, "Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered." Now, a couple who are living rich, living according to their inheritance, are a couple who pray together. It's actually how you draw on your inheritance. It's like going to the bank, isn't it? That's how you draw on your inheritance, as you pray together. It's often been said that those who pray together stay together. And Peter's practical. He knows that when people are behaving selfishly towards each other, it's hard then actually to pray together. Now, Andy and Jenny, it's difficult on a day like this to imagine that there could ever be a cross word or a sort of a cold wind, a chill in your relationship or a misunderstanding between you. The big issue is actually not whether it will happen, but how you handle it. Always treat each other in such a way that you can go on praying together. I think that's a good rule of thumb. Always treat each other in such a way that you can carry on praying together so that your prayers may not be hindered. So every day, know how blessed you are, and every day, show how blessed you are as equal partners in God's gift of new life. And your marriage then will continue as it has begun to be a strong witness for Jesus. May God bless you. Amen.